Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
How's this for a lead? It is time for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Chicago to get a grand jury together and begin investigating the Chicago police scandal of Yolanda Talley, chief of the Chicago Internal Affairs Division, Talley's car, heroin, and Kenneth Miles, a convicted drug dealer and confidential informant in the controversial Anjanette Young raid. Yeah, that's a mouthful. So how about this? We need the U.S. attorney now. According to CWB Chicago website, Miles was named as the confidential informant in the Anjanette Young case by COPA, the Civilian Office of Police Accountability. Hey, COPA, since when are CIs identified in public documents? Miles just happens to be the same guy arrested for 84 bags of heroin that were thrown out of Chief Talley's Lexus onto a West Side street as police tried to pull her car over. She wasn't driving, but her niece was reportedly driving, and the niece and Kenneth Miles are reportedly boyfriend and girlfriend. The niece of the IAD boss and the West Side drug dealer, who's a CI, are said to be a couple. Isn't that nice? And Auntie IAD gives her the car to drive the drug dealer around? My question, does Chief Talley also have a relationship with Kenneth Miles? And if so, what kind of relationship is that exactly? Do they go to movies together, or do they just have coffee clutches, or take cooking classes, or maybe they don't have a relationship whatsoever, and it's all, here's my car, my niece, take my car with the drug dealer and have a good time driving. I don't know, but I sure would want to find out. This ain't Chinatown, Jake. It's the Chicago way, bro. And Lightfoot's administration and her top cops protecting Talley are neck deep in it. And Lightfoot buries it just as fast as she can down some City Hall rabbit hole. Here's the problem with all this. The city is overwhelmed by violent crime. Victims and people in some neighborhoods don't want to talk to detectives working homicide. And you know what? There is a federal consent decree, Lori, and you've used it to beat the police up. Yeah, the consent decree is all about transparency, yes? So where's the bleeping transparency here? Let's have some key questions that haven't been answered. So I'm going to ask him again. Why does IAD Chief Yolanda Talley get to keep her car? It wasn't impounded. The Sun-Times reported that a decision was made eventually not to impound her car following conversations between high-ranking police officials. Are these the same high-ranking police officials who characterized IAD Chief Yolanda Talley as a rising star in the department? And what did she do to have her star rise so fast? Besides, what? Kiss Brown behind and Eric Carter's behind? And why hasn't IAD Chief Yolanda Talley been suspended or at least cut out of IAD investigations pending an outcome? How and why did COPA fail to protect the identity of a police source? There's another question. And after Kenneth Miles was arrested again with heroin and became the CI in the Anjanette Young case and raid, did IAD Chief Yolanda Talley vouch for him? Lightfoot buries it, City Hall clams up, and except for a few of us, much of the media doesn't put on pressure. Thank God for CWB. But cops see, criminals see, the neighborhood see, You want witnesses to come forward and talk about crime? Well, you put confidential informants' identities out in the public domain? Now, City Hall can't investigate itself. Lori Lightfoot can't investigate herself. And Cook County, run by Boss Preckwinkle, who protects her protege, Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox, can't investigate this. And the state can't. Governor Commodius Maximus is running for re-election. So who with subpoena power can? The feds. The feds can. Bring the U.S. attorney in on this now. Stand up, Lori. Call them out and call on the U.S. attorney. Get into this case and investigate it, because you can't do it. And your police department can't do it. Not with the rising star, Yolanda Talley, and her car's not impounded. I mean, what do you think people think of this? You know what they think? They think it's the Chicago way. Jeff Carlin is here as always, executive producer at WGN Radio. And I'm John Cass, husband, father, editor-in-chief of John Cass News. And where are you? With the federal consent decree torn up into little bits and thrown as trash along the Chicago way, just to be picked up by what? By convicts with sharp sticks and the road gangs? Where are you with City Hall and the cop, top cop, so silent about the IAD chief, her car, and the heroin dealer? You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Hello.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
Go to the CWB website. You're going to see a story there. And it really hurt me to lose the story, because I was working on it while CWB was working on it. It's the story about that I told you that is not over. Last time we were on, had the podcast, it's about that IAD chief, the IAD Internal Affairs Division chief, Yolanda Talley, and her car, the Lexus that her niece was allegedly driving, when there were 84 packets of heroin thrown out the window by a young man named Miles. It turns out Miles was the, according to CWB and others, the affiant on the huge Anjanette Young search warrant. Isn't that funny? How did that happen? And then he's hanging out with the chief's niece and gets arrested. So something's going on here, Jeff.
Wow. As if the Chicago Way needed a definition or an example, that is certainly smells of the Chicago Way, if nothing else. As you know, if it walks like the Chicago Way, talks like the Chicago Way, smells like the Chicago Way.
Yeah. It's not just about Daily, right?
Right.
And I'd tell you that in the old days when I worked at the paper, if I couldn't get to that story, but I hear things,
right,
I would have farmed it out, talked to a police reporter, given them the story.
Sure.
It would be a good tip that they could have checked out. But I'm glad I don't work there, because that excuse for a newspaper doesn't even touch this story. Every copper, every cop family, mm-hmm. every criminal family that reads the news is right. Interested in this story, because it's got so many aspects about the consent decree.
It ties back to the Anjanette Young case, which was such a hot topic, which was just in the news because there was a settlement in that case. So just to not cover it. I mean, we used to have this. Remember Drew Hayes from WLS?
Yeah, our old boss.
Our old boss over there. he used to tell me something that, like, I would always ask him about, you know, how do you kind of figure out what topics to cover and what not and what to cover? Because people are always going to accuse you of cherry picking or having some bias or whatever.
Right.
Well, one of the pieces of advice he always gave me, he says, people won't know what you don't, you're not covering something until they do. And when they do, you don't want it to be obvious. You don't want it to be noted that, hey, is it more interesting that I'm not covering this, or is it just relative to the story itself? So the idea that the Tribune's not covering it is crazy to me, because it's just, you obviously should be covering it. Like, it's a story. Like, people are going to notice that you're not covering it, and that's going to become a story.
I'll give you something here. Listen to this paragraph in CWB. CWB reported exclusively on Monday that the man who allegedly threw the heroin from the car, Kenneth Miles, is identified in public records as the confidential police source whose bad information led to the wrongful raid of Anjanette Young's home in February of 2019. The city cut a $2.9 million settlement to end litigation with Young just 2 months ago. And we know that Lori Lightfoot lied about it. And, you know, there's all sorts of controversy and you know, lack of transparency, also elsewhere. The story also revealed in CWB that COPA's public report about the botched raid exposed Miles as the informant by giving the date, time, and police district where the John Doe informant who sparked the Young raid had been arrested. Arrest records, including dates, times, and locations, are public information. So, the paper, I know you're woke, but isn't this a woke story?
Right. It's crazy. I mean, we don't want need to go around this rabbit hole picking apart, you know, the newspapers and headlines and whatnot, but like the top stories for
I'm like a fat little dog climbing down the hole the rabbits.
All right, well, if we're doing that, the front page is about the, which we'll get to, the city dropping mask mandates and proof of vaccines. Right.
Important story.
It's a big headline. And then the subheadline to that is something on Ukraine. And then below that is about superintendents and school districts. Obviously, there's always drama there in the suburbs. So that's obviously something you would cover. But the more top news, like there's like a subheading column, which is like the hot stories we want you to click on, a little running list. And the top story is about Senator Tom Cullerton, state senator, rather, resigning after a federal payroll case.
Yeah, that's an important story.
Absolutely great story. But then the second story is, who is the doctor giving Ron DeSantis pandemic policy information a seal of approval? And then the second story is, man arrested on charges of breaching the Capitol. I was tear gassed, but I still stayed on the front lines.
Yeah, some Greek guy. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And then it's about something about high school students and then juvenile detention and how it's wrong. And then Pritzker has endorsed city clerk Anna Valencia in the Secretary of State's race.
Because that's historic. Because we care about making history by putting some, you know, hack, Democratic hack who happens to be Latina on the ticket. Okay, good.
Right.
Enjoy yourselves.
Right, exactly. And then scrolling down, I mean, this is a story where this story should be the front page all week today. I mean, this should be this story, a subsetting of the mask story, Ukraine would be the three things you juggle all week to keep people's interest, because they're all things that our people are interested in.
Well, in our skin. I don't understand. I don't read that, the paper, but I do read sometimes the Sun-Times, and they have it on the front page.
Absolutely.
The milestone. They don't have all of it.
No, but they had it over the weekend when we saw when the story was initially pushed. I mean, they've been on this story.
Yeah, they've been on it, and so has CWB.
Yeah.
Even Ben Bradley and those guys at WGN.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because it's a story.
Right.
Because you've got, here's what I think's going on here. My theory.
Mm-hmm.
We have a federal consent decree. The bottom line of that decree is that police has to be more transparent, right? Mm-hmm. And they all they talk about is transparency, all these political, you know, the social justice warrior nonsense. They're all talking about transparency, transparency. Well, why don't you prove it?
Mm-hmm.
How do you let a chief whose car is involved in a heroin bust, how do you not impound that car?
Right. It's staggering. And then the hush hush. Well, the inspector is going to get to it. The inspector. No, there's some sort of liability here. There's someone's job should be on. If anyone should be on desk duty or soft desk duty, it should be the chief of IED because it's her car, for God's sakes. I mean,
you know why they didn't impound it? My theory, and you can read it in the accounts. Mm-hmm. Police bosses got together and decided, oh, we're not going to impound the car. You know what that means, Eric Fruit Salad Carter? And you know why he's Fruit Salad? Because the first deputy of Chicago Police, the one who basically squashed the funeral procession to the morgue
right.
for Officer Ella French and said, we're not going to deal with that.
We're not going to be waiting on the bagpipes. Go ahead and get the vehicle inside. Take it all the way inside. Do not stop.
All right, take the vehicles inside. Take the vehicles inside.
Debbie, take it all the way inside. Do not stop.
All the vehicles inside. Do not stop. All vehicles inside. Do not stop.
1200, I've reached the medical examiner's office 11.
We've reached 2111. West Harrison Street. The medical examiner's office council time is 01:55 hours on the clock. The 8th of August, 2021, City West 6 Cliff.
He wears fruit salad on his chest like some Colombian dictator.
I don't
fruit
understand.
Salad, fruit, all these little ribbons. He's got all these
ribbons. Oh, right.
gotcha. A chest full of ribbons, you know?
There you go. Right.
Such a bleeping hero. And he didn't let the pipes march behind Ella French. But and his boss, David Brown, right? The chief, police chief. Who are the people that were involved in the idea, oh, we're not going to impound the IED chief's car, whose niece is apparently on, as you predicted last week, is apparently on audio or body cameras saying, you know who my auntie is? She's probably your boss, you know,
right?
To the cops.
And you know what? And I hope we'll see this. And John, you've got way better sources than I have. You may have already heard what this says, but I hope that the cops who are involved were, you know, like, what do we do with this one? We pull the plate. The plate comes back to muckety muck. They get instruction from someone else, because the whole idea of the body cam thing, right, is to protect. They say, oh, it's to keep from officers from doing bad things. But it's also to keep officers who are trying to do the right thing protected as well. And I hope that's the case here. We'll see.
Yeah, but okay. But here's my, you know, remember last week I told you about Ian Aloysius Donnelly.
Right.
The internal affairs guy with the fake name. All right. So you've got an affiant. This Kenneth Miles, right, who's got a history of drug arrests known to the coppers in the district, right?
Right.
I mean, he's not a Boy Scout. He's known. So he's got a rap sheet. They see him. My theory, they run his plates, or they've been following him for some time.
That's my thinking, John.
And they're mad. Cops are mad because here's the guy who gave the police department the wrong.
Right.
The wrong information on the Enginette Young case. They went to the wrong address, right?
Didn't
they?
Oh, yeah.
On his bad info. And that settlement
was just announced in the last, like, month.
I would want to know if I were, like, say, okay, Jeff, say you're running a narcotics division, a group, and I'm the guy who had to wear the jacket for the bad raid, Enginette Young raid.
Sure.
And we're buddies. And I'm like, who the bleep? You know, who's, do you, have you,
right,
where's that bleeping affiant? Where's that K Kenneth Miles. So people, so maybe somebody starts clocking them.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I think that's what I told Christine yesterday. That's my assessment of it, thinking that his relationship, if you will, if there was any, has certainly been soured. And you have the COPA report that said that it was, that no one vetted it, and that was pissing people off. And then you have the settlement come through. So this guy's time on the streets was certainly numbered. I had
the story, and the CWB had the story over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They have better sources. They had documents.
Right.
I knew they had the documents. I didn't have the documents, but I had sources.
Sure.
But I could have got the documents. All I had to do was go to the clerk's office and get them.
Right.
The problem is I'm a one-man band now. I'm not making excuses for myself. I said this story's not over, and it's not over. But
yeah.
Where are the – now, in the old days when I used to work at a newspaper – I'd be writing columns about this.
Right.
I'm still writing columns about it at John Cass News. And I've decided to let the podcast, the Chicago A podcast, carry, you know, what I'm thinking about this IAD nonsense. But that's because, you know, we're partners, right, buddy? But where are the, are there any other city columnists out here? To write it? I just have to go to the only thing you can do is go to CWB.
Yeah.
I mean, where are the city editors? Well, I have to give, you know, I old habits die hard. And I've always been, I've been trained, you know, look at the sometimes askance. but I got to give them credit. They have editors who put people on the story.
Right.
Tom Shuba, Frank Main, Matthew Hendrickson, and others. Yeah. And CWB, of course, leads crime reporting in the city of crime.
And malfeasance.
But here's the thing. If it's – how does this affect the consent decree that they all the social justice warriors like? Where is the transparency? Because you want me – to give my son up, say my sons see, you know, they're witness to a crime.
Right.
You want me to have them give statements, witnesses, they haven't seen a crime. I'm just saying, what if they were?
Hypothetically.
And there are people, there are many fathers and mothers out there in Chicago who have to go through this. So I'm supposed to put my kids at risk while you're running a game at IAD and protecting Yolanda Tolley. Yeah. How am I supposed to have confidence that you're gonna treat everybody the same way? You know what? I say, well, if that happens and some detective knocks on the door, Mr. Cass, can I talk to your sons? We need their testimony about this. You know, we need to know about this crime. I'm going to say, get the bleep off my front porch.
Yeah.
Because unless you start treating the big shots like you treat the little guys, there's no justice there. There's no feeling of justice. Is there?
No, absolutely not. And that's the point, is it that you've got this two-tier world we live in, you know, the have and have-nots and the power and the powerless. It's just, the Chicago way, John, will outlive us all, that's for sure. I can just say that.
I do have a public announcement, what is that, service announcement?
Yeah, PSA, public service.
Yeah, a PSA from the Chicago way. Everybody listen up, because on March 12th, there will be the Emerald Society's St. Patrick's celebration. And as you know, though I am of Hellenic ancestry, the Emerald Society, which is the Society for Police Officers in Illinois, has made me an honorary Irishman. I even have the plaque to prove it. They gave it to me at their last banquet. So there's a parade day and party and celebration March 12th. At the Operating Engineers Hall, the 399ers, over at 2260 South Grove, which is basically Cermak and Canal. It's $40 at the door unless you're a uniformed marcher. Kids under 12 are free. Get to the hall by 9:30 for buses and armbands for the parade and buses, free transportation to and from. The parade's on Columbus Drive. You know, I guess the plumbers are running it. And
how you doing?
Based on my writing of in the past, I hope she's a real Irish queen and not with an Italian name. I'm just saying, you know.
So, John, are you telling us, is this the PSA you're giving us, is that you are going to be on a part of the parade?
No,
you're just going to be there for the dinner?
No, I'm not. I'm probably going to go and for $40, you can have a full corned beef dinner. Yeah. Guinness, Larkin and the Moran brothers are going to be providing entertainment. The pipes and drums of the Emerald Society, of course, will be providing entertainment. And I just got a message for Joe Mansueto of the Chicago Fire.
Never heard of him.
You know, you got millions of dollars, Joe, in your pocket. Your pocket change is more than I'll ever make in my life. And you're doing a great job, Joe, in getting us Xavi. And, you know, we're getting some good players. The winger from Mexico, you know, we've got him and the center back. Things are starting to look up for my beloved Chicago Fire. But I would like you to hire these guys, start paying them, the pipes and drums of the Emerald Society, to pipe the people in to the Chicago Fire game, because there is nothing like pipes and drums as you go into a Soldier Field to watch our beloved Chicago Fire open their season. But I'm just saying. So $40 a month. I mean, $40 at the door. Go to the parade. Enjoy yourself. And it'll be fun.
It's just I approve that message. Brought to you by the people for John Cass for Irish citizenship.
Anybody named Jeffrey Patrick Carlin?
Peter. My grandfather was
Patrick. Oh, Peter. Your grandfather was Patrick. Okay. And I think, so if you haven't seen Jeff, because he's shy and he doesn't want to he doesn't want to take a picture, and he uses that stupid picture of me. The one where I'm holding the microphone that's on iTunes and all that. I look like a lounge lizard singing like some, you know, hey baby song to old ladies in Las Vegas.
At a supper club
in Summit. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. And I want a new picture with Jeff and me in there. But Jeff says people don't care about him. And I say you're wrong, Jeff.
I'm sure people do care, and I care about them. But you know who cares about us, John?
Who?
And our safety and our health. Lori Lightfoot, she does. She wants us to know that it's now safe for the world to be mask and vaccine-proof free.
Hooray!
But wait, there's more, as they would say. But she's still going to wear the mask, and she's kind of like on brand for her, I think, because, you know, and not to shame anybody for wearing a mask. You want to wear a mask or you have an issue, by all means, free country.
Is it on brand for Lori to say, I'm wearing a mask and here's an F and a U? Isn't that her brand?
No, it's on brand for her to tell everybody to do something and then do the opposite. She tells everybody they can take their masks off, but she
got to get my roots done. Yeah,
right, exactly.
Because I'm the face of Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. I mean, so most people probably may or may not have heard it around the world. This is happening on the regular, around the world, rather, around the country. It's happening on the regular that a lot of places are, oh, look, the science is on our side again.
Here's what I love about these COVIDians. The science, right? Okay, but it's not the science, because this is the politics.
Right.
You know, if it was that bad.
Exactly.
Mask on.
Right, exactly. We've talked about this ad nauseum, but yeah, the whole idea that they're like, oh, this, the numbers are here, and we're going to, everybody's got to stay inside. Well, the numbers are still there. Oh, but still stay inside just in case, because they might go up, or they look like they're going up, or the numbers are now and this numbers are this area or this region is. I mean, it was such, like you said, it was such a shell game, and it's embarrassing that
it's a fog. It's like Biden's fog.
Well, yeah,
it's like I can hear when she's doing her mask nonsense when she's talking. You have the tape of that,
right?
I thought I could hear herds of donkeys passing wind.
As the famous Cassian phrase, right? Or from your grandfather, right?
Yeah, my papu. Of those be like your gaidros klani. When he speaks, meaning the politician, the donkey brings wind. Yes.
Well, certainly in the short term, I'm going to be wearing a mask. That's my personal choice. You know, I was one of the people that caught COVID during this Omicron surge, and while I had a mild case, I don't want to put myself at risk. So I'm going to, and particularly in a restaurant setting where I have no idea now, knowing whether or not the people that are sitting in and around me are vaccinated, I'll be wearing a mask.
Wait a minute. Didn't you impose a vax pass? I have to show. I wanted a corned beef sandwich from Manny's. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I had to dig through my wallet, you know, old man wallet with a bunch of receipts in like there and all that.
4.5 inches thick.
Yeah, four and a half inches thick. And I found the ratty little piece of paper from Walgreens. I'm like, okay, man. He's like, okay, you can go get your corned beef. So look, you imposed that on us, and now you're saying, oh, I don't know if you're vaccinated.
Right, and the
crap.
I know, it's just I you know me, John. I like science. I like understanding of how things work and get behind things. And I understand like their whole idea when we kind of launched into this pandemic, but that was 2 years ago, and that's not how power works. And I will say that I am actually happy with the way our republic has kind of rebuked this power overreach, right? I mean, the system worked. It obviously didn't work quickly because it's not designed to work quickly, but the system worked. We have plenty of politicians and political leaders and lawyers and
Are we supposed to forget in the name of progress that I couldn't go to church?
No.
But I could go gamble.
Right.
That's what these people did.
But that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you're kind of cut through the middle there. But my point is that there was an overreach by our governor and the leaders. And it was this idea that they were extending this, you know, emergency. For safety, which is like the number one rule or playbook of any dictatorship, and why we have our rules and laws in place and the ability to appeal these things and take it to court. And so I'm just saying, John, that amongst all the crap we've dealt with, I am glad that at least the system has worked, because we've got plenty of judges and lawyers in this state who have said that it's way out of bounds, that it's not even funny, close to falling in line with the Constitution, keeping people under various rules and restrictions without representatives involved.
I know who I want as the Illinois Attorney General. He's the guy, Tom Doerr, who brought the lawsuits against Pritzker.
Right.
And absolutely. Because here's the thing. Now, here's an issue on the masks at schools. Schools are mask optional. Some schools are, even though Governor Commodius Maximus, I guess, is still going to the Supreme Court to keep his mask mandate together.
Yeah, which is a fool. Right,
what a moron. But anyway, if it's mask in the schools, it's mask optional. So you're a teacher. I'm not speaking about Betty or Pete, you know. Mm-hmm. You're a teacher in another school district. I'm just met one yesterday in the western suburbs, another school district, and she says, we're mask optional. So I said, are you wearing a mask? She says, no, but I'm getting dirty looks from the other teachers. Like they're mad at her.
I don't get that. I get that in our neighborhood too sometimes, even outside, which even baffles me to an nth degree. That
you're in Bernie Bro land, man. You live with the Bernie
Bros. I am very much in the middle of Bernie Bro. I live in Andersonville, which is very progressive, and so it's not I'm not surprised by it. And no one's mean about anything. I don't get anybody confronting anybody, thank God, because I couldn't handle that.
You know what? Because you don't have to walk a dog.
Yeah.
You know, if you walk a dog in Andersonville, people will scream at you for not wearing a mask when you're cleaning up. It's, you know, it's leavings.
Maybe.
Right?
Yeah.
You have cats.
You have cats. Thank God I don't have to worry about that. But it is unreal. And then that Lori that just thinks that, you know, sorry, Madam Mayor, thinks that she's, you know, going to set the tone or try to control the situation and be like, I'm a positive role model, so you should follow me. That ship has sank, Lori. No one's buying that you are telling anybody or believing anything you're saying when it comes to stuff like that. You can't just magically make that credibility return because you keep saying it. So stop it, please.
We're not idiots.
She literally thinks that like the voters or people out there are that stupid that we're like,
yes,
hey, we're not going to, you told us not to go outside, only do things that we had to do that were super important to protect everyone around us.
You shut the lakefront down.
Right. And then you went and did the opposite. So the whole role model thing is we're gone. I mean, you could be a role model for other things, maybe, but not in any sort of leadership plan. So knock it off.
I'm done with her, but you know.
Yeah,
then again, we have the White Shadow.
The White Shadow is coming to save us all. But speaking of saviors, John, antithesis, it would be the Mutsa of the month. And I know we're it's been a busy month, so
even though it's
very short, it's somehow
Mutsa nominations are open, my friend.
Yeah. I think I'm going to, if I get a say, John, if I can nominate somebody, I think I'm going to, Kenneth Miles. How about that?
Kenneth Miles. Oh, the, John Doe Affiant.
Right.
Yes, how about the COPA person, whoever put his name in?
Yes, absolutely. Because you
want me to be a John, you want me to be an Affiant and the secret John Doe thing,
right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
That's who I would choose. So. That would be my pick for Moots of the Month. So get those in.
All right, we'll see what happens. We're not ready to write, but somebody's like on Facebook where the nominations are open. Somebody's like, wait a minute. Is it that time again? I'm like, February is a short month, man.
Right. And then next month we get to one of Jake Hartford's favorite holidays. So
spring back, forward, fall back.
Spring forward, fall back. Exactly.
That was probably my worst moment in radio. Were you producing that show?
Oh, yeah.
All right. But I was just scared. I was new to the radio business. I was, you know, the Tribune was starting to get woke. I knew it. But if Cass makes one mistake, you know, you can't do radio that way where you're scared of saying something.
That was the best part. So the setup is that, you know, it's Jake and John. You guys were paired together on middays and all this. And it was so much fun. And it was some of the best radio. But it was great because Jake is like, you know, he's a veteran radio guy, knows every trick of the trade.
Right.
And it was time change was coming up, and it was, you know, you guys have been together maybe like a week, right. if that.
And we're top of the charts though, man.
Oh yeah, heck yeah, we were crushing it. That was we were number one, like
number one,
lock, stock, and barrel number one.
I don't know anything about radio,
but it was. Yeah. So Jake, because he used to do this on Jake Awake with Jake the overnight.
Yeah, I remember.
Right,
and at 6 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays when he first read one of my earlier columns on why wait to die before you buy a casket. Buy a casket.
Right. Buy, oh, that's such a great column, too.
There was a casket store. You could buy a casket for $45, put it in your garage.
Right. You know, Costco or like one of the big brand boxes or whatever.
That's all you need.
Right. Oh, I remember that. So, but anyway, so Jake used to do this bit where he would counter program to on the week, because he was on the weekends, he would try to confuse people and mess with them and do, you know, oh, you've got it wrong. Right. You'd be like, it's not fall back, spring forward. It's spring forward, fall, you know, spring back, right. Fall forward. You know, think about how you fall. People fall forward. They don't fall backwards. And when something startles, you spring back. You don't spring forward. Like, that would be his play. So you convince people and they would call in and, oh no, you're crazy. I don't know what you're talking about. And he knew that it was that you would fall for it. Like, he knew hook, line, and sinker. So he comes to me. Okay, so I'm going to do this thing. And just when people start calling, you know, make sure on the call screener, you don't give it away, because I don't want John to know. I was like, well, so we don't want to tell John. He's like, no, this will be great. Trust me, John, this will be fun.
Thanks, Jake.
And sure enough, he started to pull it on air. Now, this is midday, you know, 50,000 watts the power. In middle of broad daylight,
right?
Not in the cover of night when he would do his Awake with Jake or early morning.
No, it was like, you know, 45 states listening.
Right, exactly. And so he did it, and then you were so nervous, and it was, I could see it, and he knew you were nervous. You know, it was kind of a rite of passage of becoming a broadcaster. But if you remember, one of the other times he pranked you, John, was this, and I recently uncovered this from an old hard drive I have, but we put together, Jake wrote it, and then Jason Dildine voiced it, one of our great WLS producer over there and an imaging guy. He wrote this little ad we did for political season, and it's the Cass anti-Cass political ad. So if you will, enjoy.
Residents of Chicago and Northwest Indiana are up in arms. John Cass, scourge of Chicago. He and his ilk are poisoning listeners' minds. Can we let this go unchallenged?
Make sure we get the tips.
Is this the man you want seeding your cerebral cortex with his vile thoughts?
Rob, inside the cavity.
That is just perverse.
See where I'm going here?
Oh, we see. And we are disgusted, you sick man.
Push this through?
John Cass, a man who references immature, outdated MTV cartoon chumps.
It's the intellectual version of the Beavis and Butthead argument, the hot girls and the binders.
Really, John? Beavis and Butthead? Really? What does that even mean?
It's a tripod. You don't want them touching.
And just what is a chumbalone?
What do you think?
Can we trust a man who likes to paraphrase made men?
Are we done here?
Isn't it true that John Cass is the real chumbalone?
Your mind can only hold so many facts, okay?
This message brought to you by People for Awake with Jake.
I'm Jake Hartford, and I encourage this message.
Ah, Jake, it was good.
Ah, so good. I loved it. It was good times.
I never got to pay Jake back. You know, I would have been like, I would have said, I got a great bar in South Chicago, and, you know, taken him there and then just left them there, you know?
I don't know. Jake is pretty resourceful, hard guy to one up.
You know, he was for years the brains behind Walter Jacobson.
Absolutely, yeah.
As the chief investigator. And he was a great radio guy, and we had a great time together. And and you were the producer, and, you know, we were number one.
Yeah, those were good times.
Until Jake passed away.
We lost Jake, yeah. So, and he was, you know, one of these guys who was sick and had a, you know, felt like he had the flu and thought he could, you know, power through, and then just it didn't work. We miss him. The good man.
Miss him too. On that note, I think
you hug your loved ones. I guess we'll close on that, right, John?
Hug your loved ones. Don't be a chumbalone to Lori.
Right.
If she sits next to me in a restaurant, it better be a good one, like Brundy. And I would never see her there because, why? You know, I don't think she has any taste. And
I don't know.
I'm sorry. And that's how I feel. I used to love her. I gave her hugs and kisses in front of you.
Yep.
And then she went all woke and lost me with the endorsement of Kim Fox. So see you later. You know, I still want to find out more about Yolanda Tolley.
Yes.
The IAD chief.
More to come.
Because there is more to come. Show up at the Emerald Society's March 12th dinner at Operating Engineers Hall. $3.99 at 2260 South Grove. Bring $40 and get ready to drink some Guinness and enjoy some good corned beef. For Jeff Carlin, executive producer at WGN Radio, longtime co-host here, my friend, and who just had to light a candle in his in his bedroom or wherever, office. His office, because he's got cats who just did their business before the show, and that will cause you, sir, you know what about the parasite and that, and you're going to lose your mind.
That's why we got to wrap up this podcast, because I'm trapped in this room until then.
And for me, John. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, editor-in-chief of johncassnews.com, which getting a lot of love from Real Clear Politics and elsewhere across the country, please subscribe. And if you want to sponsor this podcast, email me at john@johncassnews.com. And in the subject line, write sponsorship. Thanks, everybody. See you next time on another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.